12:07 is the time. But first up this noon hour, local author Joel Zemel's new book on the Halifax explosion will be officially launched Thursday during an event at the Museum of Natural History. The book is called Betrayal of Trust. It looks at the Royal Canadian Navy's Frederick Evan Wyatt, the only man to stand trial on charges stemming from the December 1917 explosion that killed some 2,000 residents and injured many thousands more. And Joel Zemel joins me on the phone this afternoon to tell us more about Mr. Wyatt and his book. Joel, good afternoon.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad. It's a lovely day.
It looks to be gorgeous, and I'm looking forward to enjoying a little bit of sunshine out of the deck here this afternoon.
I hope you do get out there.
Yeah, I plan to. F. Evan Wyatt, Frederick Evan Wyatt. He was a member of the Royal Canadian Navy. He was basically the Navy's chief port examiner. What was that? What did that mean? What was his job?
Well, he was the chief examining officer, is what his actual title was. It was his special services aboard HMCS Niobe. He was on loan from the Royal Naval Reserve. He was recommissioned at the beginning of the war and was sent here as a lieutenant, and then made his way through the ranks in about 18 months and then became an acting commander. And then his job was basically to not regulate, but keep a record of the ships entering and leaving the harbor. And he was also in charge of the anti-submarine nets, you know, the defenses that were, there were two series of nets there that you could had to go through in order to come and go up and down the harbor.
And again, he was one of what, two or three men charged after the explosion and after an inquiry into the explosion, but he was the only one that was actually tried. What were the charges against him?
Well, the charges against Captain Lemetic and Francis Mackey, the pilot of Mont Blanc, were fundamentally the same charges, manslaughter, and the person that they were charged with killing was the pilot, William Hayes of SS Emo.
But he died in the blast, right?
He died, yeah, on Emo. And the legal problem here was that the captain and the pilot were arrested on one warrant together, and Commander Wyatt was arrested on a separate warrant, even though the charges were the same. The captain and pilot were arrested on one warrant, and he was arrested on the other. So there was a little bit of a problem there, because after the inquiry and then there was a subsequent preliminary hearing where a stipendiary magistrate, R.A. McLeod, had to determine whether there was enough evidence to go to trial, and he actually had said that there was enough evidence for all three defendants, and at the last minute he threw in a criminal negligence charge, but the warrants were slightly different, but they were the same charges. So the charges were manslaughter and criminal negligence, but Mackey didn't have the money for bail and he was thrown in jail, so he was eligible for habeas corpus. He had a smart lawyer, Walter Ahern, from Cape Breton, and Ahern got him off. Basically, Francis Mackey was discharged on a writ of habeas corpus because Judge Benjamin Russell of the Nova Scotia Supreme Court, believed that there was not enough evidence to warrant an indictment. So he discharged Mackey. Because the captain and Mackey were arrested on the same warrant, basically, what happened to Mackey happened to the captain. So the captain was discharged as well. As a matter of fact, he drew up two writs of habeas corpus, one for the captain, one for Mackey. So those two guys were gone. And there was quite a public outcry. You know, I mean, one guy came up to Judge Russell's son and said that he should be castrated because he let the pilot and the captain go. He didn't know he was his son, of course, at the time. But anyway, Wyatt, of course, was not eligible for habeas corpus because he got out on bail.
So he actually went to trial.
Well, yes, he was indicted. So what happened was, is he went to at the time we used to have grand juries. So they had a grand jury hearing, and it lasted 2 days. And he was indicted. They brought back what's called a true bill. So he was set to go to trial, and he had his trial in April. The trial only lasted about a day and a half, and luckily for Wyatt, I mean, Judge Russell happened to be the judge slotted for all of these events. So Judge Russell tried to get the grand jury to see reason that there was no evidence, but the temperament of the city at the time, they wanted a scapegoat, they wanted to have somebody, even though the charges against him were really quite ludicrous.
They were
trumped up.
I don't understand how they could charge this man who's, again, it was his job just to keep tabs on the ships coming and going. So how could they lay this on him?
They put a pretty good spin on it. I mean, it's too much detail to go into in our conversation here, but they put a pretty good spin on it, and in doing so, they ignored some of the, like the thing about the red flag, for example, and the thing about allowing ships into the harbor. They used that, and all the information was false, basically. I mean, they didn't differentiate between a ship that carried explosives and a ship that carried munitions and a ship that didn't. They were all the same. There was no red flag. You weren't allowed to fly a red flag, but they used it. And in those times, they needed somebody to take the fall. And once the captain and the pilot were gone, Wyatt was it. And so the attorney general, who was at the time, just pushed it, and he did go to trial. But of course, with Judge Russell, who thought the whole thing was quite spurious and ludicrous, you use any adjective you like, decided that he would do everything in his power to convince the juries that there was no evidence, and there was no evidence, really. There was none, and he finally, during the trial, he made them see that there was no evidence, and they came back within, I think, the actual proceedings lasted a half a day, and the jury was out for less than 45 minutes, and they came back and he was acquitted,
but
he was not exonerated.
As you point out, that his life here in Halifax and his career in the Navy basically ruined.
Over. Yeah. He had to leave town. Now, his father-in-law still lived. He lived on Oxford Street. After his wife died, he moved from English Street to Oxford Street. Wyatt and his wife used to come back here on the down low quite a few times. She had relatives here. She was a Brookfield, right? Her father was W.G. Brookfield, and they came to visit him, but he kept a pretty low profile. Everybody abandoned him. He sort of became a pariah, but they moved to Boston. He did quite well. I mean, he worked under the supervision of the British Ministry. He was the Marine Superintendent of Boston Harbor. He had a long career in the Merchant Marine. He was a captain, and went through several ranks before his career was over. He ended up working at the United Car Fastener Company in Cambridge, which was an automobile parts factory. And during World War II, it was converted into an airplane parts factory. He was a supervisor there. And after that, he became a manager and a vault attendant and working at the Newton Waltham Bank in Newton. And then he basically, in 1951, I think, he retired and moved to Florida with his wife.
And again, you say that you think he was just merely a scapegoat, that they were looking for someone to blame, and he was...
Well, I don't think he was. I know he was, and the evidence shows that, I mean, when you look at all the evidence, there was no basis for these charges at all. He was a scapegoat, there's no doubt.
All right, and your book is, again, called Betrayal of Trust, Commander Wyatt and the Halifax Explosion. A lot more detail in the book, and Joel, the launch is Thursday night at the Museum of Natural History.
Oh, no.
Nope.
It's at the Maritime Museum.
There you go, right, sorry.
On Water Street.
What time's that at?
It starts at 7.
Right, 7 o'clock, you're right, at the Maritime Museum of the Atlantic, 1675 Lower Water Street, 7 o'clock Thursday night.
And you know what, Rick, I just want to say something just before I go. There's very few people like yourself who support local authors and people in general, musicians, artists, and I just wanted to thank you for all the things that you do on your show to help people and their projects and promote them the way that you do. I really appreciate it, and I know there are a lot of people that really do appreciate what you do.
Well, not a problem. Not a problem at all. And good to talk to you again, Mr. Zemel.
Nice talking to you, Rick, and take care.
Good luck on Thursday.
Thank you.
All right, bud. Bye-bye. Joel Zemel, local author, and again, the book is called Betrayal of Trust, Commander Wyatt and the Halifax Explosion.